In the summer of 2015, the world held its breath as the 2,000-year-old ruins of Palmyra, one of the best-preserved ancient cities in the world, fell into the hands of the extremist organization known as Islamic State, a group with a proven track record of destroying any evidence of pre-Islamic history, which they consider to be idolatrous. During their time in Palmyra, a multitude of temples and statues were destroyed. Priceless artifacts were carried off to be sold on the black market. The remaining custodians of the city were murdered in cold blood. IS certainly had their work cut out, however. After all, the site stretches for 200 hectares and is spectacularly preserved by the heat of the Syrian desert. At its height during the 3rd century AD, the city had a population of more than 200,000 and was ruled in its prime not by a man, but perhaps most defensively for Islamic State, by a woman. Zenobia, a warrior queen who for a time carved out one of the largest empires in the world, rivaling that of Rome itself. Palmyra began life as a rich trading centre sometime in the 2nd millennium BC, long profiting from the lucrative Silk Road which passed through the region. Before its incorporation into the Roman Empire in the 1st century AD, its population was made up of an amalgamation of Amorites, Aramaeans and Arabs, likely speaking a form of Aramaean which soon diverged into a local dialect known as Palmyri. Whilst the city's inhabitants worshipped a diverse collection of local Mesopotamian and pre-Islamic Arab deities, the culture of the city was heavily influenced by Greco-Roman traditions which tended to be adopted by the richest and the most powerful families, due to the beneficial links that could then be forged with the rest of the Roman Empire. The city had once been a tribal confederation strictly based along ancient ethnic divisions, but by the time Zenobia was born in 240 AD, Palmyra had become a vast melting pot of different cultures and traditions, and incredibly wealthy from the peace which Rome's overlordship had brought with it. Zenobia was born into not only a wealthy city-state, but a powerful one in its own right, as necessity dictated that they needed a large army to defend themselves from the old Roman enemy of Persia. Although we know little about where exactly her family came from, we know that they were themselves powerful enough that Zenobia was able to marry the self-proclaimed king of the city, Odenathus, in 260 AD. Odenathus hailed from a native Palmyrian family who had been made Roman citizens in the 190s and only grew in status during his lifetime, enjoying the privileges afforded by Palmyra's special city-state status within the empire, largely like the privileges that the Greek city-states once held. By 260, the empire was in turmoil. The emperor, Valerian, had recently been defeated in battle at Edessa and captured by the old enemy, the Persians, now led by the Sassanid ruler, Shapur I. Valerian was reportedly kept as a footstool for the king for years before he was eventually killed, possibly by having molten gold poured down his throat. Although these details could very well be later Roman fabrications, the empire was in turmoil. Large areas of the empire began to break away when they heard the news, with self-proclaimed emperors appearing throughout the provinces. Rather than face potential destruction at the hands of the Sassanids, Odenathus opted to unite the people of his city and the surrounding provinces himself, and proclaimed himself king, eventually succeeding where Valerian had failed and driving Shapur back over the border, even laying siege to his capital, Ctesiphon. Valerian remained in captivity, however, so Odenathus, now supported by a powerful military and the vast riches of his capital city, opted to remain king. He did, however, support the new emperor, Valerian's son, against the other usurpers to his title. By 267, Odenathus died, likely assassinated by political opponents. Rather than submit to a new foreign ruler, the people of Palmyra rallied behind his young widow, Zenobia, who was destined to become an even greater monarch than her husband had been. She ruled as regent for their young son and heir, Verbalathus. By this stage, Palmyra was by far the most powerful city in the east, especially after their sound defeat of the Persians, where even the emperor had failed. Her influence stretched all the way from Asia Minor in the north to the borders of Arabia in the south. Although she still nominally owed allegiance to Rome, she began to come into conflict with regional officials whose loyalty was torn between her and that of Rome, now often perceived to be a weak and ineffectual foreign bureaucracy. By 270, Zenobia led Palmyra in open rebellion against Rome. Campaigns into Arabia and Syria solidified the already heavy Palmyrian influence over these provinces, and mints at Antioch began issuing coins with the name of Vibalathus, rather than the new emperor, Claudius, who by October was also dead. Before long, Zenobia's 70,000 strong army marched into Egypt and defeated a force of 50,000 Romans, in the first major military confrontation between the Palmyrenes and the Romans. By August 271, the Palmyrene Empire stretched from modern-day Libya and Sudan all the way to northern Turkey, encompassing all of the land in between, formerly the richest Roman provinces. As a Palmyrene, Zenobia was used to dealing with different cultures. By all accounts, she expertly navigated intercultural relations between the various peoples under her rule. She projected an image of a Syrian monarch, a Hellenistic queen, and a Roman empress, which contributed greatly to her popularity. By 272, however, there was a new emperor in Rome, and he wasn't going to tolerate the defiance of the eastern provinces any longer. Even though little had changed in terms of administration, Aurelian, a capable military leader, led simultaneous expeditions into Egypt and Asia Minor, where the local governors quickly submitted. This cleared a path for the invasion of the Palmyrene heartland of Syria. At the Battle of Imay and the subsequent Battle of Emesa, Aurelian inflicted costly defeats upon Zenobia's army, who herself fled back to Palmyra to prepare for a siege. Before she arrived, however, Aurelian's outriders had overtaken her and took her captive. Stories flooded throughout the land of her supposed cowardice in fleeing, and of her proposed plan to ally with the great enemy, the Persians. Both almost certainly were just propaganda pieces by Aurelian to remove the threat of further unrest by the Palmyrenes. While most of the other prisoners were promptly executed, Aurelian had Zenobia and her son spared, probably to be publicly paraded through Rome in his planned triumph. Her eventual fate is unknown, with several conflicting accounts, the most likely being that she was quietly executed whilst Aurelian used his supposed mercy for political gain. Palmyra itself was destroyed and rebuilt again under much stricter guidelines. It remained an important regional city under the Byzantines, and subsequently the Arabs, but never again reached the supremacy that it had once held under Zenobia. In 1400, the city's population was reduced to that of a small village by the invading Timurids led by Tamerlane, until 1932, when the final inhabitants moved out of the city into the nearby town of Tadmor. Zenobia remains a popular figure throughout the Middle East, most notably in Syria, where in the 19th century she became an icon for Syrian nationalism, with her image still appearing on banknotes today. She remains as an enduring legacy of the multiculturalism, tolerance, and immense power which the region once possessed, and maybe one day can possess again.